Hey everybody, welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen and today is April 13th. Today is the last day of this week's Come Follow Me blog. And next week we're going to be studying Enos through the words of Mormon. And so no big deal, just next week we have about 300 years of history to get through, but we will get through it. And we will honestly spend probably at least half of the week in Enos. Enos is a beautiful book and there's so much in it that we can learn, but I also don't want to miss the little gems in those other little books as well. So I'm looking forward to next week, but for now, let's finish up this week's Come Follow Me block in Jacob chapter 7. If you'll remember, yesterday we started Jacob chapter 7, and this chapter documents the Antichrist Sherem coming to Jacob and trying to convince him that he is teaching false doctrine. So let's jump back into it and see what we can learn here in this chapter. Something that I've always found really interesting about Sherem is that he doesn't come in among the Nephites and just start preaching to all of them. He doesn't just start talking to anyone who will listen, trying to tear down faith. He makes a point to seek out the leader. He makes a point to find Jacob and to speak to Jacob about these things. And I've always thought that that was really interesting. In fact, listen to how he speaks to Jacob. In verse 6, it says, "He did speak unto me, saying, Brother Jacob, I have sought much opportunity that I might speak unto you." I think it's really interesting how he's speaking to Jacob there. He calls him Brother Jacob. And he just says, "Hey, you know what? I've really been wanting to talk to you for a while." I think that that in particular is a testament to what has already been said about Sherem, that he is well-spoken and that he speaks with much flattery. Rather than coming in and just start tearing Jacob down, he speaks to him with so much love. He calls him Brother Jacob. And I think that that really shows us how wise Sherem was in his words and how tricky he was. And so then Sherem goes on and he says, "Jacob, I know that you've been teaching the gospel or what you call the doctrine of Christ." But then he goes on and listen to how he accuses Jacob here. He says in verse 7, "And ye have led away much of this people, that they pervert the right way of God, and keep not the law of Moses, which is the right way, and convert the law into the worship of a being which ye say shall come many hundred years hence. And now, behold, Sherem, I declare unto you that this is blasphemy, for no man knoweth of such things, for he cannot tell of things to come." Now, there are a couple of really interesting things about this verse. First of all, it's interesting that Sherem doesn't have an issue with the people keeping the law of Moses. In fact, he says the people should be keeping the law of Moses. And keep in mind, there is a possibility that Sherem isn't a Nephite. There's a possibility that Sherem is a Lamanite because it says he came in amongst the Nephites to find Jacob. So it's interesting to me that he's like, yeah, keep the law of Moses. The law of Moses is good, but the reason why you're keeping it is wrong. He's saying the law of Moses is just this law of ritual and sacrifice, but you're trying to convert it into a law that worships someone who's going to come many years from now. And that's because the Nephites understood that the purpose of the law of Moses was to act as a type or a shadow of Jesus Christ who should come. And Sherem was saying that that was wrong. I think that that's really interesting because oftentimes the adversary will use half-truths in order to deceive us. Notice Sherem doesn't come in and say the law of Moses is ridiculous and you shouldn't be living it at all. He's saying the law of Moses is good, but you're living it for the wrong reason. You should just focus on the ritual and the sacrifice of it and not the purpose for which it's intended. And oftentimes when the adversary tries to tempt us or tries to get us to let go of our faith or our belief, he does it with half-truth, not all-out lies. And so I think that that's really important to understand, especially when we get accosted with these half-truths of the adversary. It's so important to be able to discern truth from error, especially when truth is mingled with error. The second part that I think is really interesting here is that Sherem accuses Jacob of blasphemy. Blasphemy is one of those words that oftentimes we read in the scriptures, but we don't think much about the meaning. And the meaning of blasphemy actually is twofold. It has two different meanings. The first is an attempt to lead people into apostasy. And the second is proclaiming to be deity. But what's fascinating about this specifically here is that blasphemy, in both of its definitions, is punishable under the Mosaic law by death. So Sherem's not just coming in and accusing Jacob of being a false teacher or accusing Jacob of teaching false doctrine. He's coming in and he is saying, Jacob, you should be punished by death under the Mosaic law. And what's really, really interesting about the Mosaic law on blasphemy is Sherem must have really, deeply, truly believed what he was saying. Because also under the Mosaic law, if Jacob had been tried for blasphemy and found innocent, then Sherem, because he accused him of blasphemy and was found wrong, Sherem would have been punished by death under the Mosaic law. It was just a way of preventing people from false accusations. And so knowing that and remembering that, especially knowing that Sherem is really, really hyping up Mosaic law here and preaching it, Sherem must have very, very firmly felt what he believed or been very, very deceived by what he believed because he was so willing to accuse Jacob of blasphemy, knowing that if he were found innocent, that Sherem himself would be punished by capital law. So continuing on, Jacob asks Sherem if he believes in the scriptures. And Sherem is like, yes, absolutely. I totally believe in the scriptures. And then Jacob really boldly says, well, then you must not understand them very well. Because if you were to understand the scriptures, you would know that everything in the scriptures points us to Jesus Christ and testifies of him. And then Sherem gets really upset and says, okay, well, if it's true, then show me a sign. And what's fascinating, in verse 14, it says, and I said unto him, what am I that should tempt God to show unto thee a sign in the thing which thou knowest to be true? It's fascinating to me here because Jacob obviously could discern to some degree that Sherem had already received and experienced a testimony of Jesus Christ. I've had that experience before as a teacher in seminary and FSY. Like, I've had this experience where I've been teaching and I could tell if someone was filling the Spirit and believing the things that were being taught. I've had the opposite experience too, where I've taught and realized that this person was really struggling with a doctrine that's being taught and I needed to teach it a different way. And so what's fascinating to me is clearly here, Jacob, on probably a much grander scale, is receiving some sort of revelation where he knows that Sherem has experienced a testimony of Jesus Christ. And what's interesting about that is that somehow Sherem went from having received a witness of Jesus Christ to not only not having a witness, but to actively trying to tear down the testimony that others have received. And my friends, I think the story of Sherem really is a warning to each of us to guard our testimonies carefully. President Monson once said that a testimony needs to be kept vital and alive through continual obedience to the commandments of God and through daily prayer and scripture study. My friends, it's interesting. Oftentimes in the church, we talk about prayer and scripture study and things like that as the primary answers. And I always grew up thinking, well, yeah, that's called the primary answers because those are the things that you're taught in primary, right? It wasn't until later in my life when I realized that a primary something is the building blocks. Like when we talk about the primary colors are 1, 2, 3, red, yellow, and blue, they are the primary colors because they are the building blocks for all other colors. And it's the same with the primary answers. Being obedient, going to church, saying our prayers, reading our scriptures, those are the building blocks to every other good thing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we are doing those basic things, then we have the strength, we have the power, we have the desire to do the bigger ones. When we are doing the primary answers, we have a greater desire to develop charity and love. When we're doing the primary answers, we have a greater desire to go to the temple, to be closer to God there, to remember the covenants which we've made. When we are doing those basic things, we have a greater desire and power to reach out and love and serve others. My friends, the primary answers are essential to guarding and keeping our testimonies alive because those primary answers are the building blocks of all good things, including our testimonies. And my friends, I testify that there is power in the primary answers. There is power in the scriptures. There is power in prayer. There is power in obedience, even in the simple things. And when we live those primary answers, we gain greater access to God's power to build and guard our testimonies, to draw nearer to Christ, and in time to become more like Him. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.